And a good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. As we chat today here with Manhattan City officials, we are joined on the phone by City Manager Ron Fear. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
And Mayor Ushiretti also on the phone this morning. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
It's a pleasure to have you both on. Of course, the Manhattan City Commission has a legislative meeting tonight, 7 p.m., and you can view that a number of different ways. Cox Cable Channel 3, cityofmhk.com/TV, which is my preferred method, and of course the Facebook page is the other option. And before we get into the details of the meeting tonight, those will continue kind of in that that forum, as I understand it, for at least a little while longer.
That's correct. The commission had a discussion about it, and actually the first item on the agenda tonight is a special action item to renew the emergency resolution that we adopted back at the end of March that expired at the end of June. The commission did give some direction for renewing that, and so that's the first item on the agenda. It does a number of different things. One of them, it previously mandated that we meet virtually. Allows for it and recommends it and institutes the provisions for public comments to be made in that virtual setting via written comment, as well as it is possible to hold an in-person meeting. So it doesn't make it necessarily mandatory, but that certainly seems to be the desire of the commission, or at least some flexibility if we decided to we wanted to have in-person meetings. It still allows for remote participation by other commissioners. So it has a little bit more flexibility in it. Otherwise, a lot of the other same provisions are in there as far as the first reading, only one reading of an ordinance, also some spending authorities and some extra emergency decision-making that is offered to me as city manager.
All right, and that'll be important here for one of the items that's on the agenda tonight. Probably, honestly, this will probably be one of the most viewed city commission meetings of the year, I would think, because of what's on the agenda here, and that is item B. We're going to start with item B today rather than item A, and that is an ordinance, number 7488, regarding the requirements for face coverings within the city of Manhattan. And Mayor Reddy, I know it was back in early May, I think, you first kind of proposed this idea. And now that it's now that the governor has acted and the counties have opted out, what will this entail altogether?
Yeah, thanks, Brandon. First, I just want to go back to the previous question about the executive, the emergency orders for the way we are conducting our meetings, and this kind of leads into the face masking one as well. You know, one of the things when we do a virtual meeting. When we have in-person meetings, we have public comment where people can come and speak. But most of our meetings go for more than 1 hour. Most of our meetings go to 3 to 4 hours. And when we are still in a pandemic, that air filtration matters, the ventilation systems matter. So even if you have a face mask, that those air droplets are just in the air for so long. So that's one of the reasons why I advocated for continuing the emergency orders that we have in place, because we are not done with this pandemic, and I don't want to put any of the public at risk, nor do I want to say we're only going to have 5 people speak, and that's it. That to me is not democratic either. So that's one of the reasons. Now about the face mask ordinance. Yes, I did bring it in May, and I think if we had, you know, implemented it then, maybe we would have had fewer cases, but there wasn't enough support from business organizations, whether it's our bigger entities such as the university or other government agencies, were not so supportive because there wasn't enough information or data out there. But now there is, and we've seen a spike in all of our cases across the board, and because we felt like everything is okay, and there were so many myths, oh, it's summertime, it's not, you know, you don't catch the virus, you don't catch it if you're outside. So all of these myths, but all of that proved wrong when our numbers kept going exponentially, even though it's to a younger population, 50%. But there's the other 50% that is not the younger population. And I think it's important, even though this county opted out of it, Kansas State University is requiring it on campus. Fort Riley is requiring it on and off base. In fact, they're requiring it even if there are groups of people in a car, they have to wear it because they've noticed that's how the virus is being transmitted. So I think we should be aligning ourselves with both of these groups. Plus, just for our businesses in general, what I've noticed over the weekend is, you know, I rarely go out for anything, but I do go get groceries, and I went to another store. And Dillon's, in the past, used to have 20 or 30% people wearing face masks. Last weekend, there was at least 95% wearing face masks. The word mandate compared to the word highly recommend or strongly suggest matters. So people want that direction. Oh, it's mandated or it's required in the city of Manhattan, and they put it on, no problem. It's not a political issue anymore because that's just what you do. And I think this is going to honestly help our economy and take the political stance out of it, because people will just now do it automatically. The goal of this is not to see how many people we can find. The goal of this is to reduce the spread of the virus. And this is one of the methods we can use. It's simple, it's not expensive, and there's going to be a lot of education pieces that go into it, how to wear it, what to wear, and hopefully we have masks for those that don't have it if they come to any of our city facilities or other areas. So there's a strong evidence now within the medical community, like I said, Fort Riley, Kansas State University, businesses, where this will work. That doesn't mean the virus is gone, but it reduces that spread. And when we talk about healthcare officials and we say, well, there's only been 3 deaths or there's only one on a ventilator, that's kind of misleading, because we hear constantly about our local health officer saying we're going to have to hire more contact tracers. So we already have 12. We're going to hire more. So that's more people that have to be hired. Our testing capacity is being maximized. People that have to do the swabbing, they're getting exhausted. And we heard that from Dr. Knobb when he spoke at the Recovery Task Force. And it's just taxing what we have in place. August, we're going to have 15,000 to 20,000 students come back to our city. And we need to be ready for that. And if we make face masking normal in our community, wherever you go, like they do on campus, that's the transition to keep our university open as well as our businesses. So that's why I'm strongly advocating for this policy to be implemented in the city of Manhattan.
We hear so many differing opinions on the whole mask debate. A lot of folks say, you know, strongly encouraging is a better way to go because businesses can kind of do that on their own. What is your argument against that? Obviously, you said the mandate matters.
Right. Well, you know, when you say it's required, just like we did smoking, people thought businesses were going to shut down if we went to a no-smoking ordinance, and they didn't. They were able to follow it. More people were going in. Families were going in to bars that serve food, and it was just a much better space for customers. Here, there's a lot of customers that are not going because they're not sure if employees or customers are wearing masks. I think this is going to be better across the board because now they don't have to make that decision anymore. If you say this is the mandate or required in the city of Manhattan, 90% of the people, if not 95 or more people, including businesses, follow that. It's not cost prohibitive. Actually, people want to go. They want to come out of their homes and start participating in the community. And this is one of those mechanisms we can use. And honestly, like I said, I've seen compliance just over the weekend with the governor's order. There's been much more compliance than I've ever seen before. We can strongly suggest we've done that for 2 months now. It's not working. And if we keep doing the same thing over and over again, we're not going to get different results. So we need to do something different. And this is a space where we can do something different to get different results.
We're speaking with Manhattan Mayor Yusha Reddy and City Manager Ron Fear. We have a phone call here, someone with a question or a concern. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Last Thursday, the governor started her mandate, groups of no more than 50 people, and then Saturday there was a protest group of 100 or more. And you look at the video, a lot of those didn't have masks. Are you going to be doing anything about enforcing masks in protest? And then the second thing, the Atlanta mayor is positive, COVID positive, and she said she's always wore a mask. So masks are not cure-all to this situation. That's
sure,
all
great question. So let me answer the first one about the protest. First of all, I have not participated in any protests at all. And the 50 people limit, you know, people do need to start enforcing that. And you can talk to everybody I spoke about enforcing those limits, whether it's our health officials, whether it's our police officers, whether it's the city manager, whether it's our city officials. I have been very tough at trying to say we need to follow what's being as guidelines. And it's unfortunate that people are not following it. That doesn't mean I have in any way advocated for those. I haven't. The piece about the mayor wearing a face mask and getting it, you're right, she's wearing a face mask, but it doesn't matter if the person that they're talking to is also not wearing a face mask. It's a two-way deal. When she wears a face mask, it's helping the person she's talking with or to the community she's talking to. She's keeping them sick because her fit and everything else is not going everywhere. But if the other person is not doing the same thing, then she is contracting it from these other people because it just floats in the air for a while. So when a person wears a mask, it's to protect another person, not themselves. And that's the only way this is going to work. And this is not a silver bullet. This is not to say nobody's ever going to get the virus again. This is to reduce the spread of the virus. There will still be positive cases, but this is to reduce the spread of it. We don't have a vaccine. That's the only way you can get rid of it. Right now, we're not anywhere close to getting rid of the virus. It's going to be with us for a while. We're looking for ways to reduce that impact. And that's why it matters when both people or people in a community are wearing it and not just one person. It doesn't matter if I'm the only one wearing it. I can still get it if my counterparts are not wearing it.
We have another caller here real quick. I believe it's Paul. Paul, go ahead.
Okay, I'll make it real quick. You know, the people that are getting this are the young people, age 20-something on up. That's the biggest death rate. Well, you know what? If you're past 40, 45, or 50, you don't know anything, so they don't listen to us. They walk down the street texting. They walk across the street up all around the university right in front of cars and trucks. I don't know how they got to K-State. I don't know how they graduated high school. But anyway, the next thing is the president didn't do anything right. I voted for him. Wouldn't again. He didn't start it out right. Hello.
Nope. We're still here. Go ahead.
Let me finish. And so then the governor says something, and nobody wants to listen to her. And then, actually, each county health officer should be in charge. And she is doing a great job. Now we've got the county commission. They're not doing it. And now the city commission is going to make another rule. What is the final rule going to be? Just everybody stay home? Have a great day.
All right. Do you want to respond to that? I mean, he makes a good point. A lot of folks seem to be punting this down to the lower local communities.
So from a regulatory perspective, it is challenging. You know, even when we started, we saw some of those same issues where you had more challenging situations that kind of started in Kansas in the Kansas City metro area, and the counties on both sides of the line work together to come up with similar orders. That, as things spread across the states, then the governor's office got involved in creating more stay-at-home orders, and that applied to everybody. And then I think one of the things that we witnessed from that was that it was more impactful, certainly on the areas where the disease was present and spreading, than areas where it wasn't. And so the legislature then, in their wrap-up session, created this opt-out opportunity for counties that didn't have necessarily maybe some of the same conditions as some of the other facilities. So, but it does make it challenging when you don't have that. Obviously, when you have a governor's order, it's the same message for everybody. It's kind of like your speed limit. You know, you're on your driving test. The speed limit in residential areas in Kansas is 30 unless otherwise posted. So you have this expectation that it's the same from community to community. as you have to delve down into more local ordinances where the locals, whether it's the county or a health officer or the city, they're reacting to their own set of situations and somewhat forced to do that because of the presence of the virus and the spread of the virus and the impact on our system. So as Mayor Reddy indicated, we're starting to see some of that stress in some of our medical community, not necessarily at the hospital per se, but just on the workers themselves. They've been at it for over 3 months, and so it's been a long draw, and we've seen some situations happen, and you know, we're all human beings and do different things, but a lot of discussion about the young people being not as a detrimental effect on them, but they are carriers, and so if they become positive and they introduce it to their parents, which might be middle-aged or other older folks, then that threat of that increase as those older folks interact with other older folks just snowballs and also impacts our medical service workers. So even though the actual impact on the young people may be less severe, they're still a carrier and can introduce it to anyone else. So unfortunately, that's the situation we're in, and that's why you see some local communities. Wichita had a special meeting on Friday and passed an emergency order and an emergency ordinance. Salina did one last night because their county opted out. Shawnee County officials passed a health order, as did Douglas County. You know, last week, Lawrence was behind us by about 100, and they surged ahead of us by 100 this week. And so we're very similar in our communities. And, of course, you saw the Johnson County Commission, where they still have a lot of spread, stayed with the governor's order. So, it's a mixed bag, but the intent is for each area to deal with their own set of circumstances and try to provide the best response for those circumstances.
I got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue our discussion here on In Focus. We're talking with City Manager Ron Fear and Mayor Yusha Reddy today on News Radio KMAN.